We've talked about science and the history with dinosaurs. If you know me, you know I love dinosaurs, I love creative things, and I love technology. And today we're going to talk a little bit about technology and how that fits in with everything. Specifically, we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. And that's been a big buzzword lately. If you have a phone in your pocket, you deal with artificial intelligence on almost a daily basis, whether it's through machine learning or some generative AI. And so we work through that. We work with some of these different technologies. And one of the big things that people start talking about is there's a lot of moral ethics that get involved with it. There's a lot of discussion around, is it the right thing to do? What should we do with this AI? How do we govern AI? Right? Because the idea with artificial intelligence is it should be able to help us make decisions better, make decisions faster, and it should be able to almost think like a human being is what they're really trying to get towards. So I included a few things. I love object lessons. And using AI was a little bit tougher to have object lessons today. However, in your bulletin, there is a sheet of paper, and that was generated using an application called ChatGPT. And what ChatGPT is it's an AI technology that allows you to ask a question, and then it fills out all sorts of the answer. And it tries to give as most of a human response as possible. And that sheet, some of those questions on that sheet are going to become a little bit more important later on, especially the question about wisdom that's on there. Now, other applications of artificial intelligence is in the art world. And if you remember back last year or a while ago this year, there was a big writer's strike and an actor's strike in Hollywood. And the reason behind that was the writers for movies and the writers for sitcoms and TV shows were starting to use AI to write scripts. And it wasn't necessarily the writers that you would normally use. It was just some guy saying, hey, write up a script for this show based on this situation. And it can do that pretty well. The other piece of AI is, if you notice on your bulletin, I modified it. Okay? So, Stuart, can you put the first picture up there? Because it's in black and white, and it's not great to see on the bulletin, so I put the pictures up here, too. So does this look familiar? So this is our church based off of an artificial intelligence rendering of our picture. And so I fed it in, and it went through, and I said, you know, make it a picture, take this picture, and put it in like a watercolor art style. And it went through, and it generated this. And then if you look on the back of your bulletin, there's another picture that's a lot darker and harder to see. You want to go to the next one, Stuart? It's even harder to see here, but I don't remember what my prompt was for this one, but it's a vastly different picture, but it's still the same church. And all it was going to a website saying, hey, use this art style and use this picture as the starting point. And this is what it came up with. And that's where some of the ethics and some of the moral implications of AI start to come into play. Because what ends up happening, the way AI works, is it scours the internet and it collects all of this information that it uses as training, whether it's pictures, documents, books, anything out there, and then it uses that to spit out answers to the questions or answers to whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And where that gets to be that gray area is sometimes, especially in artwork, it ends up using pieces of other people's art inside of there. And that's where it starts getting in on, is that copyright infringement? Is that ethically correct? Should it be doing that type of thing? And you might be wondering at this point, Greg, how does this apply to the Bible? Where are you going with this? Are you just going to ramble about on technology for a while? And the answer is kind of yes. But what I want to do is I want us to look at 1 Kings. Oh, you can throw it on a black screen, Stuart. I want us to look at 1 Kings. Before we do that, we're going to pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the different gifts that you give us. We thank you for the people that you've put in this world that keep looking at the wonder of what you've done and get inspired by it. and use that inspiration to create the different technologies that that we utilize on a daily basis. Father, we thank you for the ability that you do to give us wisdom as we work through these. I ask that you be with me as I deliver this message. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So 1 Kings, we're going to talk about some of the application of AI and where it falls short in here. So it says, Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city until he had finished building his own house. And the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking with the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed at the high places. And made offerings in the high places. And he went into Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered and counted in multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? That last verse is really the kicker part there. What's he asking for? He's not asking for knowledge, is he? He's asking for wisdom. He's asking for wisdom to be able to know what to do, how to do it. And there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing facts. Knowledge is knowing different things or how to do things. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge. Knowing whether utilizing or how you do something is morally right, is ethically right, and being able to make some gut judgment calls on those. And that's where AI starts to fall short. We can feed it all this information that we want to, and it can spit out all these different facts. But if you look in that question that I wrote in there, that I asked the AI thing of, about wisdom, its response was, I can't provide wisdom. So while we can utilize it to clean up emails, write some code, I use it on a regular basis to clean up emails because I'm horrible at grammar. I write like I talk, and I don't always talk so great. So I use it to clean things up. I have people that utilize it to write code for me for different things. But when it comes to whether or not we can rely on it to make those critical choices on whether or not maybe somebody's guilty of something, or whether or not something should be done, when to declare war on a country. We can't rely on it to make those decisions, and that's the path that we're kind of starting to head down at times. You'll notice there's another question in there of how do you feel about what's going on in Gaza right now? And it gave kind of that non-political answer, didn't it? Because it doesn't know how to answer those questions. So when it comes to working through some of these technology aspects and working through how does this apply to us, this is where we need to rely on that wisdom that God gives us. We need to rely on the wisdom that we ask for. In Ephesians 1:17, Ephesians 1:17, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. God will give us wisdom if we ask for it. James tells us about that too. James offers us wisdom. James 1:5 promises that God will give generously wisdom to those who ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives you generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So we need to take that wisdom and we need to figure out how do we shape that? How do we work with the different things that are going on in society today? And how do we utilize what God has given us, that knowledge, that wisdom that God's given us, to help shape it? You see, we could do, we've got like two choices here. We can sit down and we can just let the technology go by and not do a thing about it. So technology is amoral. It's kind of like art. What you put in is what you get. Artificial intelligence is the same thing. It takes something to train it. It takes something to train it. And that's where a lot of people and a lot more other thoughts, having a seat at that table to determine and help guide how to train it, really starts to have an impact. Notice the question that was about God. You know, what do you think about God? It had a non-answer for that one too, didn't it? And as much as I love answers in Genesis, and I think they do some great things in the world of dinosaur history and some natural history, their technology space is starting to falter a little bit. And they need to bolster that up. As I started going through that and watching what they were talking about with it, they were spreading misinformation based off of the AI. What they failed to understand was it really is what you put in is what you get. So if all you're scraping is the internet that's full of trolls and full of people that don't believe in God, but you don't have a strong enough voice going in there and making some of those, putting some of that godly information out there, then it's not going to get that. And what they were trying to communicate is that it's just wrong, and that it's just wrong. And that's another big problem with some of these technologies, is because it is a neutral technology, it's a lot easier to spread false facts and misinformation that way. Because you just ask it a question, and it gives you an answer, and it sounds intelligent, it sounds like something that might be real, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's real. Solomon could have asked God for any other types of things. He could have asked for wealth, he could have asked for good health, but he chose wisdom. Pursuing wisdom involves responding to God's guidance. Pursuing wisdom involves responding to God's guidance. Developing a strong and holy character. In order to do so, we need to be disciplined, paying careful attention to the choices that we make day by day. We need to evaluate our decisions in the light of whether they will lead us closer to God or farther away from Him. And we need to carefully consider what we're allowing in our minds. Right? We can ask for wisdom, and God can provide us wisdom, but if we're still filling it with garbage, how's that going to affect some of our choices and what's going on? How's that going to affect that application of the wisdom that God's given us? It's going to be flawed. And we're already flawed enough as humans, right? So we can't afford to be flawed anymore. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So So again, he's telling us, fill our minds with the good things. We should be thinking about how the different choices that we make, how the different things that we do can affect the larger peace in the larger world. We should be filling our thoughts with thoughts that God would have us be thinking about, not what the world would be thinking about. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. If we're pursuing wisdom, we also should seek God's guidance for how we're using the resources he's given us, such as our time, talents, energy, and money. Once he grants us wisdom, that doesn't mean that we don't have a dependence on God. We still need to depend on God for all these different things in our lives. But because we have this free will, we have to, on a daily basis, almost minute by minute, make choices of whether or not we're going to follow God's word, or whether we're going to follow something else, or whether we're going to use that wisdom that he's given us, or whether we're going to choose to do, choose a different path. First Corinthians 10:23-25 says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. So he says, all things are lawful, but that doesn't mean I should do it, right? God gave us this free will, but that doesn't mean that we should do everything that pops into our head. We call those intrusive thoughts. And sometimes those are interesting things. Have you heard people say, it doesn't affect me, so why should I care? If I do something, even though somebody else might have to pay for it, or somebody else might have to deal with whatever that outcome is, but that doesn't impact me. Is that okay? That's where that wisdom comes in. In that wisdom of understanding what's the bigger picture. God's pleased with Solomon's choice to pursue wisdom over other pursuits. We can make that same choice too. We can choose wisdom over the other things that we have. You see, we use wisdom on almost a daily basis as we look at some of the different answers that are fed to us, some of the different things that are given. Like I said, we use AI on a daily basis as well. Anytime you go to Google, or anytime you go on the internet, anytime you interact with a computer, you're interacting with artificial intelligence. And it's using calculated algorithms to determine what type of information it's going to feed you, what type of answers it's going to show you when you ask the questions. And that's where that discernment starts to come in of, can I trust this source? Can I trust the source of what's being presented to me, that it's, if it's something spiritual, does it really line up with what God says? Does it really line up with God, with the Word of God? AI is great at giving answers. It can give a whole lot of helpful answers, as long as we're separating the wheat from the chaff appropriately. But it lacks the ability to discern right from wrong, the application of some knowledge that life experience has gained. You see, Solomon was still pretty young, wasn't he, when he became king? That's why he asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for knowledge. He figured he could learn that in school, or he could learn that as he was going along. Wisdom's a lot harder to gain. You can't just get wisdom, and you don't always just get wisdom right away. You have to train yourself for it. You have to be willing to accept it from God, and you have to know the right places to go. And so he's looking at what's out ahead of him. You know, he's starting his life as a king, and he's like, God, there's a whole lot of people out here. There's a whole lot of things that have to be done. I still got to build my own house. I still got to build your house. All these people have different issues going on, and I'm just this young guy. I need help here. I'm in over my head. And we saw that application of wisdom when the two women were fighting over that baby, right? that wasn't just a callous choice of, I'm just going to place this baby in danger, and then whoever has a softer heart is going to be the one that lets the baby live and gives up the baby. No, it was a calculated decision based off of, I know what my mother was like, I know what mothers are like and what their hearts are like. So if I use that knowledge and apply it here, then that mother is going to do what's right for the kid and step right up. And that's what happened. Right? He applied that wisdom that God gave him. Wisdom's the application of knowledge. Wonder can motivate us to pursue wisdom as well. Solomon noticed and appreciated the wonder of God's work in his life. In verse 6, Solomon thanks God for the great kindness that served as awe-inspiring reminder of God's love of servant his father David, because he was faithful and righteous and upright in heart. Being awe of God's wonder of wisdom, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon wrote many of these proverbs. When we say the fear of the Lord, are we talking about actual fear? I'm afraid of God? We're probably more talking about just the wonder of everything that God's made and the awe that we have for God. It's more that healthy fear of what God can do. I remember in sixth grade, I asked my sixth grade teacher, used to go to our church, Mrs. Swing. And so we had a really good relationship. One time she was asking us on a test or something, what are you afraid of? And I wrote down God. And, you know, later on she calls me and she says, well, why are you afraid of God? I'm like, kind of says I need to be in the Bible. And, you know, he can do all this stuff. And she says, well, that's not what it means. Fearing God doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be afraid of him and cower in fear. It just means you have to have a healthy respect for what he can do. And you have to acknowledge all that he can do and all that he's done. And as we look at all that stuff that God's done, and as we look at what God is capable of, that is the beginning of wisdom. Because if we're looking at the person that created the heavens and the earth, the person that created the people in such a way that things can reproduce, the world has this ecosystem that's a carefully balanced thing going on, isn't it? If we can look at the person that made all of this stuff and makes it work in harmony, why would we look anywhere else for wisdom and how we apply things? So understanding what God's done is that beginning. Pursuing God's wonder is a powerful way of pursuing God's wisdom because of the strong connections between our wonder of learning and encountering God's wonder and experiencing awe as a result. There's God's given us creative hearts, hasn't he? He's given man the ability to be creative. He's given man the ability to want to learn and want to explore. That's why we go to space. That's why we dig up dinosaur bones. Or that's why we do different science experiments. And as I was kind of finishing this up, Landon was sitting there watching YouTube last night. And there's a YouTuber named Mark Roper. And he works, he used to work at NASA at one point. And he worked at Apple. He's a brilliant young engineer. And one of the things that he loves to do, though, is he wants to pass that down to kids. So he takes that knowledge that he has, and he finds ways to make it applicable to kids and get them exploring and get them thinking about all the different things in this world. And God's given us that ability. God's given us that ability to think about all the different things that God's created, all the different things that are in this world. And that's why we start developing some of these technologies. We want to explore. Now, in some instances, people want to be... There are some that probably want to go and push the limits because they want to be like God. Right? right? Not everybody's a Christian in this world, unfortunately, so there's different motivations for people. And that those motivations are also where we need to make sure that as Christians, we're not standing aside and letting some of these technologies just go by. Because we need to understand that some of these motivations are harmful to people. China's using AI right now for social currency. So they've got all these cameras all over the place, and they use facial recognition, and they score people on, did I cross the street at the right time? Was I rude to somebody else that was out there? And they give you social points based off of all that stuff that they see in that generative compilation of all that information. Now we can keep going with that, and that's already kind of a weird moral ethical situation. And as we start looking more towards the future, we can see that getting more and more complicated, right? That's why it's important that we have Christians like Answers in Genesis actually working on some of those sciences and contributing to that field. That's why it's also important that we have Christians that are also politicians working with our government to try and influence and give another perspective on what's right and what's wrong. That's where we need Christians to step up and get seats at all these tables and apply that wisdom that God's gave us. You see, AI can do a really good choice, do a really good job of telling us, you know, what we can accomplish, how we might be able to accomplish it, but it's going to do a poor choice of telling us what we should accomplish and what we should be doing, or what goals are worth pursuing. So humans can create, humans are only able to create bad copies of what God created. And that's where we're trying to go. That's where science is trying to take us, is they're looking at cloning. They're looking at how can we create a robot that can think like a human, that can basically be a human. That's like the ultimate goal of robotics, is they want an android. They want something that, if you've ever watched Star Trek, is like Data, that can almost pass off as a human if you didn't know. In the 50s, somebody came up with what's called the Turing test. And this is when science and robotics were really starting to take off. And they were trying to figure out, well, how do we know if we're successful? Right? So the guy was like, you know what? We'll give it a test. And so he came up with his name was Andrew Turing. So they called it the Turing test. And it's all about, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to have one thing that's a computer, and then another actual person. I'm not going to know who's answering the questions. And if you can fool me, if the computer can fool me, then it's thinking like a human, or it's passable as a human. And that was the original Turing test. And we keep trying to go more and more into that realm. Where this starts to become dangerous is when you can take, and you probably heard this through some of the election stuff, where you can take people's voices and you can manipulate it, even though it'll sound exactly like that person, to be saying things that it shouldn't be that they wouldn't be saying or normally wouldn't do. You can actually go on YouTube and you can see people saying, have Johnny Cash sing this pop song. And it'll sound like Johnny Cash's voice, but he's singing a song that he would never actually sing. And it just keeps going and going from there. So we need to be ready to go have a seat at this table. We need to be ready to feed some of that information, figure out how we contribute to that learning. We also need to be ready to help govern and help figure out how do we make sure that this is being used for right and not for the wrong reasons. and that's where, you know, looking at those life decisions that we've had, those life experiences that we had, the computer is going to be able to look at history, and it's going to be able to look at facts, and it's going to be able to say, you know what, maybe based off of this, here's how you might write this law. But it's not going to tell you whether that law is going to be effective, whether that law is going to be good, or sometimes even whether a person should be healed. You know, what about when we start utilizing some of these sciences to determine the fate of people as they go forward? That's where the human wisdom comes in. And that's where we can do all this wonderful stuff with technology, but we still need people. We still need people relying on God's word. We still need people like Solomon that are looking for, making sure that they're walking in the right path, making sure that they're relying on God for wisdom and not themselves. So our challenges are, we need to prioritize wisdom in our personal life, our societal pursuits, even amidst other technological advancements. We don't push technology away. We figure out how do we contribute to this, and how do we try to shape it so that it can be used for good. And we need, and that's where we, you know, help make those ethical decisions. That's where we help make those moral decisions. So it's really interesting. If you've got some time to kill and are really curious about it, you know, go play with ChatGPT, ask it questions, ask it to clean up an email or do different things. The answers that you get are always interesting. Sometimes you can say, nope, that's not the right answer, here's the right answer. And that will add to its learning. We've had to do that in the past too. But we can't just ignore the technology. The Amish and the Mennonite community do a great job of trying to follow God's word and trying to do different things and be religious, but the forfeiture of technology or the completely ignoring technology and the impact that it has on the world and that it can have on the human race is something that we just can't stand by and let go. Gracious Father, we thank you for today. Again, I thank you for the creativeness that you give people, the way that we can utilize the different skills that you've given us, the different thinking processes, and I ask that rather than, you know, maybe run away or write off the different advances that are happening in the technology space, that we look at making sure that we're contributing to whether some of those should continue, whether some of those should stop, how they're utilized, and even the training of some of these technologies, Father. We ask that you give us wisdom like Solomon, that you help us be able to discern right from wrong and discern those pursuits that are worth pursuing. Just because we can do anything and just because certain goals can be completed, that doesn't mean that those goals are the ones that are worth pursuing. Father, I ask this all in your name and pray. Amen.